Nothing else. Hallelujah. Are you ready to be empowered now? Are you ready to be empowered? Sit down and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a hope. We are not talking, you know, what is not real. Amen. I'd like us to continue in our empowerment today from something I think I took in my own time. Maybe last week or last 2 weeks. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 4 verse 27. For those that want to see the Lord soon and very soon, then let this be your mindset. And Daniel said, whereof, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. And what is his counsel? Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquity by showing mercy to the poor. If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Hallelujah. And I just want to continue from that particular exhortation, break off thy sins by righteousness. Brothers and sisters, there's a need why I believe the Spirit of the Lord is bringing this to our attention again. I was going to pick a different topic, but this is what the Spirit of the Lord, you know, dropped my spirit. I was already studying something else. I was not settled. And he brought me back to this. And so, by God's grace, God helping me, please just listen and follow and let the Lord bless you. This empowerment 2025, God is using it to do great things in our lives. There's something I discovered today while reading scriptures. You know, some of these things, you'll be catching it every day. Kai, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, wait, let me not say it yet. It's in the sermon. Amen. The purpose for empowerment from January is that God wants to help us throughout the year. And the only way he can help us is to empower us from the beginning of the year. This our God is full of wisdom. He's full of wisdom. You can imagine that we have 365 days and he cut out 30 days to empower us for 365 days. That's the truth. Because we're not here wasting our time. Is it a waste of time? Okay, now. I don't know about you. I want to advise you. As the empowerment hour finishes this month, for February till December, go back and listen to the sermons again. It's just 1 hour now. 1 hour, 30 minutes. 1 hour, 30 minutes max. Listen to it again. Listen. Oh, God. God will help us this evening. Listen to the messages again. There's a reason why God calls it empowerment hour. He gave the word, though. This inspiration is from the Lord. And it is for your benefit. It's for our benefit. So I encourage you to go back, listen to all the sermons. And after this month, from Sunday next month, empowerment hour continues. Every Sunday evening, we empower ourselves. You don't empower yourself with us. You are not part of us. Okay, now. Hallelujah. If there's anything that will hinder you this period, brethren, please break it off. Break it off. Break it off. God does not have any other language to use than to tell you, break off your sins by doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. And the only way you can know what is right in the sight of the Lord is through his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. The only way you can know what is right in the sight of the Lord is in his word. It's in his word. Either you read it for yourself or it is preached to you. But that's the only way you can know what God wants you to do. You can never know what God wants you to do maybe by just chat with people. You can't get God's counsel like that. I went somewhere yesterday to a program and the man made a striking statement. He repeated the same thing Pastor Olumide said one day, Solomon. He said, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, ask and you shall receive, he was not talking of carnal things. Do you know that thing makes a lot of sense? What? Do you ask God for prosperity? I hope you know prosperity is not a prayer point. It's not a prayer point, though. Father, prosper me. Prosper you what? He has given you hands. He has given you laws. If you sow, what will happen to you? Even Elon Musk, does he pray for prosperity? He doesn't pay for prosperity. He bought a tech company for $40-something billion. You know how much he has made now? He has made beyond what you can ever imagine that a man can have in his account. He's the richest person in the world. He's not a Christian. The point is that there are certain principles you don't pray about anymore. If you pray, you are wasting your time. Heaven will not answer. Heaven will be looking at you. What are you saying? There are principles to follow. I'm not disproving satanic attack. I'm just telling you that there are certain things you don't pray about. Solomon knew better. Ask God for money. Give me wisdom. Once there's wisdom, money will follow. Favor will come. That's not my sermon. Just wanted to point it out. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Luke 23. Let's see something that can benefit all of us here. Amen. Break off your sins by righteousness. Let's do what is right. Luke chapter 23. Let's read from verse 26. There's a very interesting story there that would help us. And as they led him away, they lay hold unto one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the womb that have never bared, and pipes which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. This was a man, after being beaten, he was still giving them prophecy. He has been beaten, no? He has been tortured. Life has already gone out, but he could still give prophecy. He could still tell them the truth, despite the fact that they are punished and beating him and all of that. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were two other male factors. There's a company of people. Then there are two male factors, two criminals, led with him to be put to death. Next verse. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the male factors, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What verse is that? Verse 34. Let me save some of my time. Verse 34 now. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. They parted his raiment, cast their lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them. So I want you to take note of the characters I'm calling out. The people that came for that meeting. Did you hear me? The people that came for that crusade, the burial of the crucifixion of Jesus. It was a crusade. The people that came, the rulers, that's the elders that followed them. Hallelujah. The elders that followed them. And with them also, they dreaded him, saying, they were messing him up. How can you save others? And now you cannot even save yourself. You say you are Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. They were mocking him. So we have the people, the elders, the rulers, the soldiers. How many is that? How many now? Are you following me? How many now? Three. Rulers, soldiers, male factors. Four, three characters now. And after these people, let me move down. They did what they did. They crucified him. And the last set of people we see there were those that believed in him, that stood afar off, watching what was happening. Verse 49, you'll find them there. They stood afar off, watching what was going on. Amen. These four characters in this story speaks to all of us seated here now. The rulers, all the elders, they are the religious people that came for empowerment. They are very religious. They put on garments of righteousness, but they are not righteous inwardly. You know, the cloth you wear sometimes determines how you'll be addressed. You see a man goes to a bank, you want to enter the bank, because he's wearing jeans, tattered jeans, he has scattered hair with polo shirts. They'll say, oh boy, where you they go? But that person, oh boy, where you they go, may be the only person sustaining that branch with his money in that account. So, because of how he's dressed, he's addressed as oh boy. But you see a poor man who is a teacher. He will enter the bank because he wears tie, shirt, trouser. He will just enter. The security man will say, welcome, sir. That one, his account is already on minus. But because he's not dressed the way his account is talking, he's addressed properly. So certain people put on the garment of righteousness, but it's not in them. So they are religious people. The elders. The soldiers are people that do whatever they are told. They don't confirm. They don't check. They are here now. They don't confirm. They just do whatever they are told. They just and you just follow. The people that came for that crusade, all the people that gathered there, these are the ones that come to look. They never make any decision. They fill up the crowd. They fill up the space. See the way the hall is full. I hope they are not here today. Okay? They just join. It's happening in Bride. They join. They just fill up the room. They fill up the space. And the next category are the two criminals. These ones are the ones that truly need help. Any criminal here today? And they were silent in heaven. The two criminals are the ones that truly need help. God is speaking to us. If you are a religious person, you come with your religious garment, you cannot be empowered. Sorry to announce it to you, but that's the truth. Because you're already putting on a shade that God cannot pierce through. You have already painted yourself like one who is okay. So how can God help you? You are the type that do whatever you are told, whether it is right or wrong. You don't care. You don't confirm truth first. God cannot also empower you. Because you are not stable. You are neither here or there. Or you are the type that just follow. Anywhere you hear something, you are there. You fill up the space. If you open a church next to choosing, you will have members. You didn't hear me? Have you seen their crowd? If you open a church next to them, did we not open a church next to them? Our church came here now. Did we not? Are people not coming here? You don't. Once you say it is church, there are people that fill up seats. They come to warm up the bench. They fill up the space. They are not going anywhere with you. They are just there because they like filling up space. God cannot empower such people. But listen, there's a group that really needs empowerment. They are the ones that know and identify with the fact that they are sinners. They need help. These are the only people God can empower. These are the only people that can actually break off their sins. Because you can't break off something you don't know. Am I communicating? You can't break off something you don't know. You break off something you know. That's why it's called your sins. And you know, God is so good. You can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to me, lie to any other person. But you see yourself, at least to a certain level, you can't lie to yourself, except your own has passed. You have graduated. But you can't lie to yourself. Hallelujah. Listen, can I tell you something shocking and striking? You cannot choose what group you belong to right now. The position of your heart and your character has already placed you in a group. Pastor Gabriel, I'm not in the group of the wicked ones. No, you don't need to say it with your mouth. Your heart and character has placed you. Did you hear me? We're not here to do, it's not religious, it's not gambling now. Tumbo. No, your character places you where you belong. As I read the story, you find yourself in the scripture. Nobody can ever contend with the word of God. It is too pure for you to joke with it. God does not play with words. Your character places you. What position you are. If you are a religious person, your character already tells. And you know it. So God cannot empower such. Hallelujah. God is ready to help us if we are ready to do these things, to be sincere, to repent, and to do what is right. Brothers and sisters, we are being empowered now so that we can be sincere, repent, and do the right thing. That's the only way to break off your sins by righteousness. That's the only way. If you're not ready to be sincere this evening, you will only come and eat bread, drink wine, go home, and nothing changes. I don't know if this is communicating to somebody. Okay. No matter how bad Nebuchadnezzar was, do you know what? God showed him mercy. Because after 7 years, his eyes was lifted up back to the God of heaven. Then he recognized that there's a God up there. That was the only way he could be forgiven. Recognizing it, realizing it. Hallelujah. Break off your sins by righteousness. Then God will empower you. When I read this story, I wondered what kind of human being some people are. Because something happened there. Listen to something. Let's read verse 39. Put your eyes on your Bible or look at the screen if you have. And one of the malefactors which were hanged, they were already crucified, began to speak in a rude manner to the Lord Jesus Christ under pain. He has been nailed already. He was under pain. Look at what he said. If you are the Christ, save yourself and save us, my friend. What's the meaning of this? Why are you keeping us here? Say you are the Christ. I beg, die, Joe. He was under pain. He was under pain. He was adding sin upon sin. He's a criminal, convicted one. He had already committed sin. He was hanged there. Yet, under that pain, he was still saying, I beg, if you are the Christ, let's get out from here. I beg. Under pain. I read it. I paused for a while. I said, can somebody be under this kind of condition and still continue in the lifestyle? That is what many of us do without knowing it. You are already on the wrong path going to hell. Instead of amending your ways, you are trying to justify your nonsense before God. Die. Brothers, listen. There are certain things you don't need to explain. Your character will prove it. Should I repeat myself? There are certain things you don't explain by mouth. Your character proves it. The man, anybody would have looked at that thief and said, child, we've gone to Kirikiri with Brother Gio, an evangelist Chinedu. A criminal, inside Kirikiri, he's inside prison for stealing. He's still stealing there. He was arrested for stealing. Then inside Kirikiri, he has devised a means to also be stealing inside Kirikiri. Yeah. I'm not saying he's a stranger. He has been sentenced 10 years inside Kirikiri. He's there. He's stealing inside there. Okay. Hallelujah. Look at something that happened. Verse 40. Whether this thief was on the left or right, I don't care. Verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God? Brothers and sisters, don't you fear God? Don't you have fear for God? All of these things you are doing, all of this drama, coming to church, going home, it was not like this some years ago. In the days of the apostles, there was nothing like this. So, Christians were not known by the church they belonged to. It was not by coming to church. You see, modernization has covered people's sin. Somebody that does not know who God is, now they sit down for front row for church. When pastor they preach, and then they always they, now then they hail pastor, and then they cause trouble. Preach, say it. They can even stand up and clap, but now then they cause trouble. So when you are doing that, the pastor is on the altar, is looking at you. He's not understanding it because now you they cause trouble, now you they clap when they rebuke the sin. Amen. Does not thou fear God? Don't you fear God? Seeing that thou art in the same condemnation. You are also condemned. You are a criminal. Why don't you just accept that you are wrong? And then break it off. Look at what he said. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. That criminal identified his problem. He was sincere. He was sincere. I am a criminal. I deserve to die. That's sincerity. That's repentance. If that's not sincerity, I don't know how you read your Bible. I am a criminal. Listen. He says, this man did not do anything. We were guilty. He went to the next line. And then he left his friend, so-called, and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Brothers and sisters, he repented. He was sincere. He repented. He asked for mercy. He turned away from that nonsense. He knew that he was wrong. So he accepted his punishment. He accepted the judgment coming to him. But he pleaded for mercy. Look at what Jesus said to him. Next verse. He says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today, not tomorrow, today, you will sit with me. You will actually be with me in paradise. Brothers and sisters, that is what I call a last-minute miracle. I was going to title the sermon a last-minute miracle because it was a miracle indeed. At the last minute of his life, his sincerity and repentance bought him paradise free of charge. Brothers and sisters, that man, he is the happiest person in heaven today. He is the happiest person on heaven today. The happiest. You know why? Because he was already hanging and dying. That was the last statement that could come out of his mouth. What's the last thing that come out of your mouth? You go see. I go show you. That's the last thing you could say. What's the last thing that can come out of your mouth? The man, last minute. Maybe that was his last breath because we didn't hear anything again. The last strength he had to talk. He said, Lord, I am guilty. I am a sinner. I am a thief. I have actually sinned. But Lord, remember me in your kingdom. That was the only thing he said and kept quiet. Obviously, he was not expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to respond. But the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, don't worry. Today, before the eyes of every other person, that man was saved in that crusade. The rest of the people went back the same way they came. Did you hear me? Other people went back the same way they came because it was already late. Salvation was before you, free, free gift. By what you say, you could be redeemed. By what you also say, you could be damned. The man did not choose the right word, the first one, but the second one did. And that brought him Calvary. He found himself in the right place with the Lord. After Jesus had died, some people are very funny. Verse 47. After Jesus said, Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. Look at what the rest of people started saying. Verse 47. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, it was that time he started glorifying God, saying, ah, not true. Not righteous man, no. If I'm sure, if not that God was doing an agenda, an angel would have knocked him. You mean all this while you did not know? Now the man has died. You are confessing, not true. It was a late confession. Very late. So late. All the people came together and they beheld the sight. They began to hit their chest. Hey, you don't die. Hey. Brothers and sisters, your emotions does not move God if you are not sincere about it. It's a waste of time. As far as God is concerned, it is pure drama. You are acting. You're just being emotional and your heart is still wicked. You are acting before God. Then you'll be crying. And after you stand up from there, some years ago, his sister was under anointing. Blah, 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 blah. In Antonio Bay. Came out from youth camp. Blah, 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 blah. She was falling. Then somebody mistakenly stepped on her hand. A young girl stepped on her hand. She just came out from the anointing. Why you match me now? Why you match me now? She was under anointing, no? They were holding her. Nobody could hold her. Only match. They just stepped on you. She came out. Why match me now? Why match me now? Where were you before? Where were you before? Who told you we are moved by those things? You scattered the whole church. When you scattered the whole church, you stand up now. Start scattering the devil's kingdom. Not that when you stand up, you still go and backbite. You still go and sell somebody. You still gang up against somebody. Then you are, don't deceive us by your anointing now. What's the problem? Why are you falling and scattering everywhere when your heart has not fallen and scattered before God? You are scattering every chair, disturbing coordinators. Boy, your fire, we don't need that type. God is looking for who is sincere. We were praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People on my side, 2012, they were scattering chairs. Earlier that year, pastor had asked, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, stand up. I stood up. A young brother, I used to see him. He came to meet me outside. He said, Brother Gabriel, why did you stand up that time? Pastor said, you have not received the Holy Ghost. He didn't pay me. I look him. I say, you don't receive Holy Ghost. He said, I shall be shut up. You have not received something. Me, I stood up. Me too, I don't have. You don't have. I stood up. You sat down. What's the problem? Brothers and sisters, be sincere with yourself. I stood that day. You know, those days, myself, Pastor Olu, Brother Dennis, if program finished, we'll be asking ourselves, any experience, anything. My brother, they will ask me, I say nothing. Others were having experience. I said, what is the problem? So the day, second day, I say, God, see people are falling now. Me, I'm not going to fall. It's not by falling. Am I talking to somebody? Is God talking to you? It's not by falling. As there was a scattering chair on my side, I raised my hand again. I began to cry. I said, Lord, this is not past power. Lord, let something happen to me now. It won't start. Nothing is moving. I'm sincere to myself. Because I know what it means to fall fake. When I was small, I don't fall like that before too. For Antonio B. But I can list the people that are falling fake that I know. Should I call their names? You like gist so that you can carry that for another 1 month. I say it was years ago. I was still small. So I already knew. He has shown me revelations that he will visit me. Other brethren I know, vessels of God, had met me to tell me the Lord is about to visit you. So I was in expectation. So normally you would have fallen. Maybe if you fall, then the Holy Ghost will continue with you. Is that what some of you do? You fall, then you start, then he continues. You go help him. When you fall, then he will just carry you. It's not like that though. My hand was lifted up. I'm telling you sincerely before God, I heard it very clear. The way God talks to me, it was too audible for me to doubt. He said, ask me for mercy. He said, it was my mercy I showed Noah. Ask me for mercy. Brothers and sisters, I burst into tears the more. I said, Lord, forget about the Holy Ghost. Show me mercy. I began to list everything from the day I was born. Every single thing I could remember. I was mentioning them one after the other. Some of us are not sincere. I mentioned every single... I did not care who was looking at me anymore. I closed my eyes. I said, Lord, I did this one. It was shameful. I did it. Forgive me. Forgive me. My hand was up. 5 minutes after, I felt the touch of the master's hand. I can never forget it for life. It was too unique to be a lie. And it was as if somebody held my hand. I say, Father, this is not what I want. It's mercy. Show me mercy. Leave every other thing. I am not worthy of what you are talking about. My hand was up. The program ended that year. Pastor did not allow anybody to lay hand. Program finished. Brother Dennis, Pastor Olumide came. Any experience? I said, my brother, I don't know. Nothing. The next day, we came back. Pastor Seoya, raise up your hand. Begin to pray for the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord. Tears began to come out of my eyes. I said, I know I don't deserve this thing. But please, if yesterday's experience, if that thing that happened to me was the Holy Ghost, do it again so that I can be sure. 2 minutes after, brothers and sisters, it came back on my hand. I opened my eyes. I began to touch my hand to be sure of what I was saying. Because I will share the testimony. I can't share an experience I'm not sure of. I'll come and tell you it was like. No, I wanted to be sure. Because if God gives you his spirit, it must come with an experience. Something must happen. He did it again. Oh God. I heard a song of one man. He says, give me substance, give me proof, give me evidence, give me you. Give me substance, give me proof, give me evidence. Let it show that I met with you. How can it not show? It is beyond the anointing, though. It shows in the character. Okay. He was sincere. He admitted he's wrong. He stopped every other thing. He repented from it. He asked for mercy. And God showed him mercy. That is the man God will empower. That's the man. God does not take pleasure in losing people. Ezekiel 18:32 tells us. I will not read that. I want to jump to something else. Brethren, God wants to empower us. He wants to do it. Psalm 32 verse 5. David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's what God is looking for. For those who want to be empowered, that's what God is looking for. What kind of heart do you have that wants to be empowered? It's mysterious. Do you know what is mysterious? God does not come to force you to be empowered. God gives you his word. If your heart is right, you will be empowered. Should I repeat myself? God does not come and say, oh yeah, take it. No. He gives his word. If your heart is right, automatically, you will be empowered. Because your heart will receive the word. Am I communicating to somebody? If your heart is right to receive the word. Let me read a scripture for us so that we understand it. I'm going to combine two scriptures together because they are similar. It's a parable, but they are the same thing. Luke 18. Some people can be reading Luke 18. Luke chapter 8. Some can be reading Matthew 13 from verse 3. But me, I will read them together. So IT, you can either display the one of Luke or just display the one of Matthew chapter 13 from verse 3. I'm going to read both because I combine them. Because, you know, they are the same thing. And the kind of words that were used. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 3. I am reading a combined version. So you choose anyone you like. It says, behold, a sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it, devoured them up. Verse 5 and 6, which is Luke chapter 8, verse 6, of Matthew 13. It says, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And as soon as it was sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture and had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. The next one. It says, some fell on tongues, and the tongues sprang up, sprang up with it, and choked them. The next one. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 30, 60 fold, some 30 fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that had an ear, let him hear. Brothers and sisters, a heart ready for empowerment is the heart God will empower. I repeat myself, God does not force the empowerment. The empowerment is in God's word. As I'm preaching, it is empowerment. If your heart is right, the seed will drop there. You are empowered. That's how it happens. If your heart is locked, the word will come. Then you will find yourself in either of this category. The word of God is seed. It carries life. It carries life. If it enters your heart truly, it will produce life. It will produce life. John chapter 6 verse 63, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh does not profit anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are what? Spirit and life. That's the word. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. 1 Peter 1 23. It says, being born again, not of what? Not of falling under anointing. Not of shaking. Being born again, not by shouting fire. We are born again by what? By an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Brothers and sisters, that is where empowerment comes from. The word of God has life. Jesus began to narrate the interpretation of the parable. He says in verse 13, verse 18 of Matthew 13, he says, hear therefore the parables of the sower. The seed is the word of God. And when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Is somebody following? The word that has been sown, devil comes to remove it out of your heart because it did not fall on the right side. He says, lest that person would believe and be saved. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Brothers and sisters, what is the position of your heart right now? The sower is sowing. The sower is sowing. Where is the seed falling into? By the wayside? If it's by the wayside, you cannot be empowered. You can't. Because you cannot have understanding. It is understanding that's life. Proverbs 2:11. Let's read that one. There was one Pastor Lumine quoted the other time. I think it's Proverbs 2:11. Let's read it. Let me see it. Proverbs 2:11. Direction shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Let's read Proverbs 16. It's in Proverbs 16. 16. Sorry. That one is just coming to my mind. Proverbs 16. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16, no, it says something about understanding shall preserve the man. I wish I can get that scripture quickly. That can help me. Thank you. 22. Are you there? It says, understanding is a wellspring of life. Brothers and sisters, if you don't understand the thing that is going on, you cannot produce life. You can't. Satan will steal the word if he falls by the wayside. He knows how to steal the word. His interest is in removing, making sure you don't get the word. So instead of listening to the sermon that is being preached, you are looking at the person that is preaching. Satan, very interesting figure. So now Pastor Gabriel, they preach now. Inside church. Oh. Somebody, see, let me tell you something I've never done. No matter who stands to preach, I've never chosen not to listen to the person. Do you know something? The scripture I just read, it was why Brother Namdi was preaching. While he was preaching, I was sitting there. He said a statement. I opened my Bible and it struck me about these seeds. That was when I wrote it down that day. So nobody preaches nonsense. Listen to it. Forget about how he's saying it or who he's talking. Hear the word. You are interested in the person. Listen to the word. Are you not in church? Is that not why you came? Hear the word and forget the other thing. Pick what you can learn. And be better spiritually. You are interested in things that does not give life. There's something I wanted to say. If I say it, everywhere will scatter. But we're not here to scatter tables. We're not here to scatter tables. You know, when pastor preaches sometimes, some of us think that he's either talking to myself or one minister or one sister. If that is the kind of heart you have, you didn't receive in that service. You know why? Sermons are preached to address characters, not people. If you don't have that character, praise God. Move on. But if you have the character and you are pretending about it because it appears like pastor is not talking about your story, then you are deceiving yourself. Because you are thinking, oh, why is pastor there? Now that's the thing they talk about. You uncle. The Bible says the stories that are there are for our examples. You don't know what an example is? It's for you to learn from it. You are busy looking at the character. I'm preaching a character. You are telling, you are angry. It is character that we are talking about. Character is the problem. You have an unforgiving spirit. You are a church leader. Who will you lead? Who will you direct? We're coming to church. We want to go to heaven. Heaven is a long road, though. It's not bread and butter. Okay, start cutting off your own. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, yet there is no root in themselves, which for a while believe, but endure it for a while. And when tribulation, persecution, temptation arises because of the word, the temptation, the persecution, the tribulation is after the word of God. What happens to those people? By and by, they are offended and they fall away. Are you the type that is offended? When tribulation and temptation come, oh God, which kind of temptation? God, they serve you. What is this? Oh God. If that is the kind of heart you have, you can't be empowered. The heart that complains cannot be empowered. The heart that grumbles cannot be empowered. And you see this complaining and grumbling, 99% of the people looking at me now, they do it. I don't complain. Clap your hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't complain. Thank you very much. You have tried. You complain. The fact that you clap, it means you complain. Show me a man that does not complain. I'll show you a man who has entered the level of charity. He's now operating in a God state. You complain! But you can learn not to complain. Once you are empowered. Brethren, let's be rooted. Jeremiah 17 verse 8. Jeremiah 17 verse 8. Jeremiah 17 verse 8. Jeremiah 17 verse 8. Let's read this one quickly. Jeremiah 17 verse 8. For he shall be a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the rivers, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When you are well rooted and well connected with God, this becomes your portion. The next one, Matthew 13:22. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they are heard, go forth and are choked by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, and he becometh unfruitful. Why are you not growing spiritually? You have not been empowered with the word. Why are you lacking some very important spiritual characters? You are not yet empowered. The word that was sown has been stolen. It has been choked. You are thinking about how you will make it, how you will not make it, how you will jam something, how something will jam you. So because of that, and you know what? We all will go through this level of temptations. If we are not rooted, we'll become unfruitful. May that not be somebody's portion in the name of Jesus. Brethren, let's be rooted. But look at the last one. Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and does what? He that heareth the word and does what? He understandeth it. Understanding. He understands it. And with a honest and good heart. That's why I said I mixed the scriptures together. The way the book of Luke puts it is what I just read. He said with a honest and good heart. Honesty, sincerity, and a good heart. See what happens to that person. With a honest and good heart, which also bringeth forth fruit. He bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 30, some 60. And bringing forth fruit with patience. Every day, as the trial comes, you overcome it. Why? You are rooted. The word of God has been planted. You have been empowered. Brethren, God's word is what empowers us. What kind of heart do we have this evening? As you are going to come before the Lord's table, what is the position of your heart? What is the position of your heart? Don't stand up and just come like that. Let's not do that. I'm telling us, let's not do that. You know, sometimes when you speak out of sincerity, people misunderstand you because of how you are saying it. Sorry, this is how I know how to say it. But I'm just telling you the truth. I could have choose to just ginger you, then you go home. But it won't profit you anything. Check your heart before you come and pick the bread. Check. Don't come here. I see people come here and come and pick two bread, three bread. Hey, God of mercy. God of mercy. It means you are not listening to the sermon. You are not listening to the sermon. That's the truth. You are not listening, Job. Someone has pierced you, broken your heart, that you are meant to be crying and coming forth. Somebody is strolling. Close to thee. Then your eye is selecting the bread. Close to thee. Then you carry and you are going. When I stand there and I see people carry bread, I was saying, oh, wow, God. Oh, Satan. Somebody shout Holy Ghost fire. Shout the blood of Jesus Christ, speak for me. Satan is very wicked. Bread. The after communion service. We used to collect our portion from Deacon. Who? We are many now. Brother Sam, Prophet Sidney, Prophet Jayola, Pastor Lumide, myself, Evangelist Chinedu, who again? And the choir. We collect our portion. Why will we not collect? The bread will not waste. But when we are coming before the table, it is a moment of sincerity. It's a moment of brokenness. You mean with brokenness you are carrying five bread? Are people broken at all? Sometimes I wonder, is it that people are not broken? Or it's just the state of your heart? It's the state of your heart. If you are broken, if you collect the bread and the wine, you will not be able to discuss with another person. Because it's a moment for you to pray. Somebody collected bread. Stand. Have fun. This is your bread. Big go. Hey, God. Communion. Someone has just finished. You are coming to the table to pick bread. You are carrying two. I served a sister wine. She looked at me. Me? You can't. I don't think you can look any other minister. You look at me. I will collect it and serve you again and reduce it. I serve you one. You are waiting for me to top. I'm not joking. No. It happened now. I served her. She looked at me. One brother once told me jokingly, but I know he was serious. He said, the way you serve communion, I know they come your side. They told Prophet Benjamin that he's pouring small, small. He's pouring small, small. We came here to actually break off our sins by doing the right thing. And the first right thing to do is to be broken and sincere. Repent before you come out. Instead of being broken and sincere, somebody is coming out to come and joke. Bride assembly. Why are we going to get it right? We are very quick in condemning other churches. We are very quick. Very quick. That woman that collected bishop, whatever. Shebe, all of you have been yabbing her. Can a woman be a bishop? Can a woman be a bishop? Can a woman be a bishop? Can a woman wear short skirts? Can a woman show us her breast? Can a woman wear wig? Can a woman do nonsense? Can a woman live in a rubbish way? Can a man fornicate? Talk about that one. Leave her alone. We have posted it. We know she did the wrong thing. You know what? Until we are sincere, we can't go to heaven. Heaven is not for pretenders. No. We have all pretended before. Leave pretense. We have left the room of pretense. I left the room of pretense years ago. I left my job. I didn't have a job. I was at home in Moe with my mom. But Sydney knows the place because he has been there. For more than 2 months, brothers and sisters, I didn't have a job. The only thing I was doing was listening to sermon, praying, and sewing bags. That was all I did. Every day, I listened to countable sermons. It was in that period God met with me. If you are not broken, you can't be empowered. If you are not broken, you can't be empowered, though. As you stand strong, Gidba, God cannot empower you. But once you are broken, once you see your faults, you see your challenges, you see the things that are not right in your life, and you can only see it if you are sincere and you study the word. That's the only way you can see your brokenness. You can see your weaknesses. Where the Bible says all fornicators will go to hell. Or the Bible says if you look at a woman and lust, you have sinned. If you read that type and you look at a sister and lust, you already know what's waiting for you now. Do you need anybody to tell you again? I see us come to church. And then when someone is on, that's when you are being distracted with WhatsApp. Let me give you an assignment. Delete your Facebook account from your phone for 1 month. Try it. Just uninstall it for 1 month. If you must post on Facebook, listen, social media is not a place for posting. I don't want to be misunderstood. It's not a place for posting that you just bought a new house. Except it is a business you are doing. Social media is for business. Empowerment is knowledge. May God help us. You know, on Sunday, Trump was inaugurated. Monday. I know somebody that made $120 million from $4,000 investment. $120 million from $4,000 investment. Why? He's not a Christian, no. Not be my friend, though. I know he don't give me. Oh, before service go finish now. People, you know, they greet you before go greet you. Pastor, shalom. Oh. He didn't give me. Oh, I know him because I follow up those trends. Brothers and sisters, worldly people are empowered with knowledge. Believers come to church and deceive themselves. Father, do it. Father, do what? You should do it. Someone is going on, you will not listen, so that you can get knowledge, get understanding, so that can help you become empowered. Instead, you'll be looking at something else in the church, where you're supposed to be in church. Delete it. Delete the Facebook 1 month. You will discover that you have less distractions. Why do you wake up every morning and you open your phone app? The first thing your eye goes to is Facebook app. Delete it. You will rest. Your body will look for it. It will not see it. After 1 week, you forget about it. It's for business, brothers and sisters. That's why social media is there. Is it that you are marketing Jesus? Or you are marketing a product? Or you are business. If you are not into business, forget about it. Okay. Should I continue? My time is up. I want to round up with this. The Lord Jesus Christ did not empower his disciples by pouring fire on them. Luke chapter 10. That empowerment you read about in Luke chapter 10 was not that Jesus started laying hands on them. Receive fire. Receive fire. Anybody you touch today, the person will be healed. That was not it. Can we read a few scriptures? Luke chapter 10. Let's read verse 3. I will just juggle this one and we round up. Jesus started saying that the harvest is plenty, laborers are few. Look at what he said. This is the empowerment. Go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He was actually telling them that this is the core message. I'm sending you out, but you are going to be surrounded by danger, but I am with you. Empowerment number one. Verse 4. Carry neither purse, nor script, nor shoe, and slaughter. Salute no man, by the way. He was actually telling them that as you are going, you are going to live by faith. Empowerment number two. He was also telling them, be focused. Forget about side talks, side stories, side events. It will not help you in this journey. Be focused. Don't salute anybody before you greet 10 million people on the road on your way to your business. Verse 5, quickly, please. It says, and into what whosoever's house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. What's he saying? Extend your blessings to people. Once you go anywhere, share the blessings you have. Always, see, your words must be seasoned with salt. God bless you. Not how far now. God bless you. Shalom. Not how far now. My sister, how far now? How you doing now? We are Christians. There are some languages we cannot use. How far now? How far now what? Shalom. It's a blessing. Peace be unto you. God bless you. Say that to people. Which one is how far now? Kewe. Kewe where? Verse 6. I'm just trying to tell you what you do as a Christian. This is empowerment. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, turn to you again and find your way. Hallelujah. If they receive you, you give them your peace. Verse 7. And in the same house remaineth eating and drinking such things as is given to you. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Stay one place. You will receive your due reward. Stay one place. Do the work diligently. And be flexible. If they give you food, collect now. Be content. Give you rice. You say, why rice? No meat. Verse 8 and 9. Let's read 8. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they set before you. That's how Christians behave. You come to my house, if it's water I give you, collect. He was empowering them. This is the only way to win the people's spirit before you can minister to them. Verse 9. And heal the sick that are daring, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. Healing happens when the word is delivered. You didn't catch it. Healing happens when the word is delivered. That's where healing happens. Brothers and sisters, that is empowerment. After that, he told them, he says he has given them power over serpents, over scorpions, over everything. He started listing them. How did he empower them, brothers and sisters? By what he said to them. That's how they were empowered. With that knowledge, no other person knew these things. They were the only one that knew it. No other person knew that when you go to a place, say, peace be unto you. No other person. They were the only ones. He empowered them. The moment they got to the places, they began to do exploits. May God help us in this season. Can we bow our heads and take a sincere prayer? I'm not calling a prayer point.